Well, Lisa, our House Republicans are having a retreat over the past couple of days in Orlando, Florida. They're with Mickey Mouse. Good for them. How come nobody does a winter retreat in like Cleveland or Sheboygan? I mean, it's in, you know, Fargo. But anyway, they're
you're
in Orlando.
All these places that I've been.
I know you have. but let's see what's going on with our fine friends, esteemed leaders. Emily Wilkins joins us. She covers all this government stuff for Bloomberg. Emily, you're down in Orlando. Good for you. Say hi to Mickey when you see him. What ostensibly are our Republican leaders trying to accomplish in Orlando at this retreat?
Well, I'll just start out by noting that Democrats actually did have their winter retreat in Baltimore. So there was at least one party that did
Charm
see
City.
The full embrace
okay,
of
good,
the
good
cold.
To know.
But really, I mean, what Republicans are trying to do down here is kind of just do a little bit of a regroup, right? Last year, when they were at this conference, they were figuring out sort of this broad blueprint for how they wanted to govern. And now they're having to get into the nuts and bolts. They spent 2 hours yesterday debating the debt limit, talking about different proposals. They're focused on various things around China, around immigration, around some of these bigger proposals that they are in the process of working on right now. And really what Republicans kind of need to do is figure out how they are going to move forward some of these bigger packages with the very narrow majority that they have. And that's kind of their focus for this retreat. You know, the last couple of years, they were in the minority. It was easy to be unified. This time they're in the majority. They've got to govern. It's a little harder. And so we've seen a lot more of this retreat focused on, I'd say, substance and policy rather than sort of bigger, broader picture ideas.
How much of it, Emily, is focused on the potential for the former President Trump to get arrested?
Republicans are doing their best to avoid discussing that at all, at least with reporters and I think to a certain extent with each other. But they did talk last night with Trey Gowdy and Eric Hirschman just about exactly what that investigation could potentially look like and sort of talking about how they want to message on it. I mean, right now you ask any Republican about Trump and they're immediately going to pivot to Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, criticizing his record, criticizing his decision to go after this. You're going to start hearing a lot more comparisons between what happened with Trump and what happened with some of Hillary Clinton's campaign money. Of course, it's really Republicans are preparing to go into a defensive stance here, even though, you know, certainly some of them aren't benefited much but by Trump still being the face of the party. They are preparing to sort of uniformly defend him. And it'll be interesting to see how their defenses of what comes out of New York change or if they don't change with what winds up coming out of Georgia when we do see any potential charges or potential indictments there.
Emily, what's the feedback you're hearing on the speaker, Kevin McCarthy? He kind of came to power, got that position, you know, kind of not full support. How has he performed?
You know, it's interesting because I was chatting yesterday with Bob Good. He was one of the lawmakers who, you know, was a real holdout for McCarthy, was not very happy with him and some of the decisions that were being made. And I asked him how he felt. And he was very optimistic, very positive on McCarthy, said he was keeping his promises, that he was doing what he needed to do. Very similar response from Andy Biggs, who, again, was part of that group that really opposed McCarthy when he was running for speaker. I think the big question now is that right now they're in a bit of a calm spot. A lot of the bills that they're passing are bills that their conference can easily agree on, things they've campaigned on, things like parents' rights, things like upping energy production. The hard thing is going to be the debt limit. And when that winds up rolling around, I think that's the next big challenge for Republicans. That's the next time that you'll potentially see them fracture in public. You know, right now they've been having a lot of conversations, but I was chatting with Tom Emmer, the whip, yesterday, and he's like, you know, we've had all these talks, and now we're at this point where we are going to be, you know, giving everything over to Kevin McCarthy and kind of how he's going to have to start making decisions on what these actual cuts will be and how Republicans will propose paring down federal spending.
Based on a lot of the news reports, it seems like there's a lot of disagreement and a lot of fractures within the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party. I'm wondering if down on the ground, especially in Florida, we've got Ron DeSantis on one hand, the former President Trump on the other, is there more unity than a lot of people perceive from the reports?
I think to a certain extent, there's unity now because they are sort of in this easier area. You know, they can talked yesterday with a lawmaker from Florida who, you know, was sort of like, I'm going to wait and see who the party nominates, and then I will go from there. For a lot of DeSantis supporters, he has not officially announced yet. And so that might be part of the reason that we haven't seen more of a split. I definitely think, there's some concerns among Republicans. You know, Trump, he lost in 2020. He lost when he tried to help out in 2022. There was the whole Georgia Senate election that did not go the Republicans' way. And so I think there is some concern among some members, but there's also, I think, a little bit premature to really start seeing some of those major divisions among Republican lawmakers as to whether or not Trump should be their standard bearer again.
Hey, Emily, something in your reporting today really jumped out at me. The Senate meets today at 3 p.m. To repeal the authorization used as a basis for the U.S. military action in Iraq 20 years ago. I didn't even know that was a thing. Can you explain what's going on there?
Yeah, so basically it was this authorization of military force that was put out there. And now at this point, there is an effort to sort of bring that back, say that the U.S., you know, we're not really in Iraq anymore. That's not where we're focused on. And this is part of Congress's part of having control, having these war powers, sort of being able to say, look, we do want to exert what power we do have in terms of our foreign relations, international relations. And so you're going to see the Senate go ahead and vote on that today. It is expected to pass. And then Kevin McCarthy told us just a few minutes ago, actually, that he does expect that the House is going to take up that bill. It's going to go through the Foreign Affairs Committee first. We'll see what happens with that. But he has a lot of confidence that there is support for that to eventually wind up making its way to the floor and potentially pass it.
Okay. Good stuff. We appreciate getting. Yes, Emily.
I should also note that, you know, we have many authorizations of military force out right now. This would not cancel all of them. This
right.
is just going to cancel a few of them that are a little older.
All right, Emily, thank you very much for that reporting. Emily Wilkins, Bloomberg government reporter down in Orlando covering the House.